Welcome to Neon and Beyond, a weekly public affairs program produced by Lotus Broadcasting, raising awareness for issues in our community. We will also address the needs of local nonprofits in this entertaining half hour. And now, here is your host of the longest running public affairs program in Southern Nevada, Steph McKenzie.
Good morning. This is Neon and Beyond, and welcome as we continue with things going on in our community. Among everything else, and the COVID-19 epidemic, the pandemic going on in the world here in Clark County, Southern Nevada, and our great state of Nevada, how we're all dealing with it, what's going on, and some more tips and things that how you can help and what to do. This morning, I'm very honored to be joined now with Glenn Simpson from Community Ambulance, a great friend and not a stranger to Lotus Broadcasting. And you hear the word ambulance, and of course, I think it's something we need all the time. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
I am wonderful. Despite everything going on, trying to stay as positive as I can and getting the word out about things going on here in our community. And you guys are joining us this morning, I think the first here on Neon and Beyond thus far as really dealing with the public and the things going on. So give us your perspective and what you guys are doing with Community Ambulance.
You know, so Community Ambulance is obviously a 911 provider here for Southern Nevada, as well as, we provide coverage for various special events in town. Obviously, with the city closing down, a lot of those events are obviously being canceled. And so we're in constant communication with a lot of the promoters. They're really excited to get back to the city and really start doing business again. As far as our 911 calls, we're actually seeing a slight decrease in the number of 911 calls that we're receiving. We're still out there on the front lines. Obviously, at the forefront of everybody's mind is COVID-19 and whether or not, they're potentially affected by it. And so, there's additional precautions we're taking as an organization. When you call 911, when you're requesting an ambulance, you're gonna get an additional series of questions that maybe we haven't asked before. We're gonna ask whether or not you've traveled outside of Nevada, for that matter, in the past 21 days. We're going to ask if you have flu-like symptoms. So, do you have a temperature? Are you having difficulty breathing? All those questions are then going into our notes, and our crews, as they're responding, are able to see that. And when they arrive, it's then allowing them to take some additional precautions that maybe we wouldn't necessarily have done prior to this pandemic.
Well, and before we started everything, you were saying the ambulance is a necessity, which I think is so bizarre to me of what is a necessity and what isn't. All joking aside, because of course what your necessity is and what my necessity is really goes to the wayside in a situation like this. I would think that an ambulance, you guys are still running 24/7, correct?
We are running 24/7. We're still getting calls for all sorts of emergencies, right? People are still having heart attacks. People are still getting in car accidents. People are still being involved in traumatic type incidences. And so that portion of calls has not shifted. Yes, we've seen a slight decrease because I think more people are staying home. So they're not necessarily out and about in our community. But those calls for service are still coming in, and our folks remain committed to being on the front lines. Our organization is committed to serving this community. You know, when we came up with the name Community Ambulance, there was much reason behind that. And we're here to serve our community, and we're going to continue to do it no matter what we're faced with.
And yesterday, or earlier this week, actually, it was not yesterday, but earlier this week, our sheriff had shared that, like you're saying, the calls are down, but domestic violence has been up, and you said, heart attacks and things like that. So you're out there still responding.
Yeah, we're still responding. You've seen headlines where donations for blood are down, and that for us was something that obviously that's what we do. We're in the healthcare realm, and we understand the need for blood product. And so, just recently, this past week, we've teamed up with the American Red Cross. It was our goal to collect 18. Units, and we superseded that by collecting over 36 units with the American Red Cross. So,
kudos.
That's the work of not only our responders but also the community. The community showed up and did that. We have a blood drive scheduled for next week, and it's already full with 30 plus donors signed up to show up. So our community is really coming together. We're keeping the shelves stocked, and it's the least we can do in this time of need in our community.
And talking about the blood drive, something I, you know, hopefully you can help me with this. You guys are not testing blood for COVID-19. You are looking for people that are feeling well, that are healthy. You know, you're going to be checked for your temperature, but the need for blood is huge.
Yeah, so the reality is we can't manufacture blood. We need blood to come from humans. And so in working with the American Red Cross, which is obviously, you know, they know what they're doing, they've advised that there's no risk involved in, you know, the COVID-19 transferring via blood. Now, with that being said, we are taking additional precautions, and those include when you arrive to a blood drive, they're going to check your temperature. If your temperature is elevated, they're going to turn you away and say, come back and donate at a different time. So really looking for individuals that are obviously feeling well, that are, you know, not presenting with any type of flu-like symptoms to then make that donation. And obviously way above my head, but once they collect blood, there's a lot that goes into it to ensure that it's ready for the shelf.
And especially coming from you, please give everyone, I know we say it all the time, but our public service as far as staying home, for those that really don't think it's that serious, you were telling us about your director and what's going on with you guys, because you're a first responder out there, and that means all of us together as a public to really take this serious.
Yeah, you know, Governor Sisolak has said it, you know, if home means Nevada to you, stay home for Nevada, and we echo that sentiment. Our medical director, Dr. Dave Obert, he works over at University Medical Center. Just speaking with him yesterday, he hasn't seen his family for a couple weeks for fear out of, you know, we don't want to, we're going to be out there. We're going to be out on the front lines. We're going to be taking care of people. That's not going to change. But by folks being out in the public, you increase the chances of this virus spreading, whether you're symptomatic or not symptomatic. And so, you know, in talking with Dr. Obert, he's living in a separate part of his house right now. He hasn't seen his child. He hasn't seen his wife, you know, physically, as we deal with this. And so really important that, you know, once this virus doesn't have an opportunity to spread, we're seeing that then the virus isn't going to exist to the extent that it exists right now. So I understand that people want to get out, but we can't stress it enough. Stay home. You know, we're out there. We're going to continue to respond to calls. Let us do our job. We're going to be open. We're going to respond to those calls and just stay home. And we'll all be back out there together, and this city will thrive. And this city, you know, stands behind what it means to be Vegas strong. And I know collectively as a community, we can do it.
Well, and kind of backwards the way we usually do it, if you don't know about Community Ambulance, they were the first on October 1 on the shootings that happened here. And so I think more and more and stronger than ever, you guys really know about Vegas Strong.
We do. This community is amazing. You know, I countless stories of just what our crews are doing and how our crews are out there helping. You know, just recently at the blood drive we did, you know, people coming out, we didn't have a spot for them. You know, there's only so many spaces that we could fill.
And social distancing.
And social distancing, right? And there was times that we had to turn people away. And, you know, I would imagine it has to be frustrating that you drove all the way over to donate blood and then you're turned away. And, you know, now you can't do that good thing that you were hoping to do. But nobody was upset about it. You know, they asked when the next blood drive was, and they'll be out here on the next one. So really our community is coming together, you know, local businesses out here. They've already told us that, hey, while the doors are shut, we understand that your crews are out there and they probably need to use the restroom. Just knock on our door. You know, we'll let you in. We'll let you utilize the restroom, for example. So really this community is coming together, and it's a great community to live in. Obviously, we're proud to serve this community, and we're going to keep doing it, you know, no matter what we're faced with.
So before we let you go, we have a few more minutes. Give us some tips as someone who's in the healthcare field that we can't reiterate and be strong enough about these few tips that everybody should be doing every day.
Yeah, so I think number one, I know as silly as it sounds, wash your hands, right? And spend 20 seconds washing your hands. If you're not feeling well, obviously stay home. Don't even go out and try to, you know, go for a walk. If you're not feeling well whatsoever, stay home. If you're not feeling well and you have flu-like symptoms, don't go to the emergency room. You're in a position where you can infect more and you can transfer this virus, as we've seen. throughout the past several weeks. So if you are feeling ill, if you feel like you have flu-like symptoms, pick up the phone, call your primary care doctor, let them know what's going on. At that point, they'll give you further direction. If it's going to an emergency room, then we'll give the information to the emergency room and let the emergency room know that you're coming in. Those are really the big tips. And I know we can do this as a community. We really need you to stay home. And we'll all be out together again, enjoying the bright lights and everything that this amazing community and this amazing city has to offer.
So I have a question for you. I know it might sound silly, but as far as washing our hands and people in your house, do you have to do it after everything that you're doing? I think that we keep saying wash your hands, but does that mean besides when you're done using the restroom, what else do you need to always be washing your hands after?
You know, one of the challenges is when, we're partaking in whatever activity that means. So using the restroom, after we're done using the restroom. The way these viruses are transmitted, every virus for that matter, is we rub our eyes, we touch our face, we rub our nose, and that's then how the virus gets into our body, and that's how it spreads. So really, you know, I can tell you that I have a bad habit of constantly, like, rubbing my eyes. So if you're somebody that, you know, really touches your face a lot, wash your hands more. If you're in your house and, you know, you're sitting, you're enjoying, you know, some entertainment on the TV, you don't need to get up every 20 minutes and wash your hands. So really when you're doing something around the house, when you're going out in the backyard and you're taking out the trash, when you're done doing those activities, come inside, wash your hands.
And do we need to take Lysol wipes and those kind of things and wipe down all the handles every few minutes and things like that?
I wouldn't say you have to do it every few minutes, but I'll tell you that obviously being an ambulance company, even at our headquarters, we're still active. We have several of our team members, our administration, working from home. Excuse me. But we do still have some folks that are working here, and twice a day, you know, we're wiping down the door handles. We're wiping down the light switches. We're wiping down the chairs. We're wiping down our keyboards. We're wiping down, you know, the hard surfaces that we're coming into contact with. And so we would urge people to do the same. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you know, maybe each surface kind of gets a wipe down. Maybe it's an activity that you can do with your kids or your loved ones. And at the end of the day, doing the same thing. And as long as we're constantly cleaning these surfaces, we're not going to allow a virus to be able to sit there and grow and do what a virus wants to do.
Well, this morning on Neon and Beyond, we're speaking with Glenn Simpson. He's from Community Ambulance, a friend of Lotus Broadcasting and a friend of all of ours, as we are all Vegas strong and still working 24/7 with some good tips and things that are going on. And I appreciate you taking the time this morning. Thank you for everything that you guys do and continue to do. And I know from everyone listening this morning, we give you a lot of love and thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate the time and, you know, can't reiterate it enough. If home means Nevada, then let's all stay home for Nevada. And we'll be back out there all together soon.
And of course, like you said, we're all going to be back out there. And something that Community Ambulance does, besides a few events throughout the year, I know they're going to be back. We do a great ambulance pull, and I can't wait till we get to do that again with you guys. So thank you for everything.
Yeah, we're super excited about that. I know right now, you know, even talking with the American Cancer Society, they're having to cancel a lot of their spring events. And so we know they're feeling the stress. We know a lot of local charities and local businesses and national charities feeling the stress. So we've assured them that we're going to figure it out together and we're going to support them come this fall when it's time to pull ambulances, to raise money, and to do what we need to do to kick cancer's butt.
All right. And I encourage you guys to check out Community Ambulance. Give us the website real quick, Glenn.
Yeah, you can check out communityambulance.com, or you pretty much can find us on every social media channel, Community Ambulance LV.
And kind of a shameless plug for you guys, but a really cool documentary. Is that out yet?
You know what? It is not out yet, but you definitely can find some interesting stories out there on YouTube and whatnot about us.
All right, Community Ambulance. Thank you, Glenn, again so much. Please be safe. Wash your hands. I'm going to tell you too.
I will. I'm going to go do it right now.
And we're all going to come back and be Vegas strong together. All my love to you, and thank you.
Thanks, Steph.
All right, Glenn. Thank you for listening to Neon and Beyond. We got lots of tips, lots of things going on, lots of ways we can still all help as we are Vegas strong. We are all in this together. Please put a big smile on your face, take a deep breath, and wash your hands.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This morning, I am joined with a great friend of Lotus Broadcasting, Adam Joseph, who is the Vice President of Philanthropy. Good morning, Adam.
Steph, it's great to be here talking about all things happening in Opportunity Village.
I know. I love it. You guys, of course, everybody, even those just moving to Las Vegas, know you for the wonderful magic you create at Christmas. But there's so many other great things you guys do. So I don't even know where to start with you this morning, except you're doing great things.
Well, that's not a bad place to start, because every holiday season we do bring the cheer to the community of Southern Nevada, and have been doing that for 25 plus years at the Magical Forest. Opportunity Village now just celebrated their 65th year. So we're here to help people that have intellectual and developmental disabilities, and our goal is to enhance their lives and the lives of their loved ones.
I love it. And that money that is generated from the Christmas magic that you guys bring alive, you keep adding great things each year. I just always have to say, that is the real Santa.
Yeah, I mean, and we raise the bar every year. You know, we've got to making sure that when the community comes in through those green gates, last year alone, over 130,000 people came through the gates of the Magical Forest. That it's a wonderful experience, and we keep improving on that and keep reinvesting in the Magical Forest every season.
You know, there was a thing that happened that I was really excited to share, and I don't think I shared this with you last time I saw you, but your residents are there, and the severity of people with intellectual disabilities can run from small to big, and some are physical, and you see that. And we were on the train, and there was a family that is supported through Opportunity Village with young kids. And I can't remember the exact name of what the child had, but they physically appeared different. Mm-hmm. And my kids were on there, and we didn't go. We let them go. They're getting to that age. You know, they need to be big kids now. And they sat on the train, and they went, and they came around. And it always makes me cry, so excuse me if I cry a little bit, but we got off, and the parents made it a point to come over and tell me how amazing my kids were. And it's not me tooting my own horn. It's me tooting Opportunity Village's horn, being allowed to take them there, because the kids sat there and chatted with them. There was no, why do you look like that? Because the parents came over and said, everywhere we go, people stare at us.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, we're different.
Yeah.
And your kids didn't do that. And they were like, kudos to you. And I was like, oh, thank you for Opportunity Village for allowing me to teach my kids and bringing the community to such an amazing experience.
Yeah, so. I mean, you bring up a great point, Steph. You know, we eliminate and take those barriers away from individuals that have disabilities. And every single day, you know, we have over 800 dedicated professional team members that make up, you know, the heartbeat of Opportunity Village. And we give people choices. That's what we're really good at, in providing a high level of care when they're here every single day at OV.
I know. I love going to Opportunity Village. So besides that, let's back up, you know, a few months prior to that, you guys have the Halloween,
That's right?
And what is that? Because that's new.
Yeah, Halloween has been going on about 8 years now. So that's the precursor to the Magical Forest. We open that in the middle part of October, and that goes all the way through, obviously, Halloween night. And what's cool about that is you see parents are dressed up. They're in competition with their kids who are dressed up. So that sets the table for the Magical Forest season. And we have all kinds of great things going on throughout the fall at OV, including the Santa Run. And as I mentioned when I came in studio earlier, we just broke ground on Betty's Village, our residential housing project, which is a game changer for adults with disabilities throughout the whole state.
So what is that? Is it as a place for them to live?
That's right. So just imagine, as an individual who comes in to Opportunity Village every single morning, you can be part of our work crews. And guess what? You can go home right next door and live at wonderful Betty's Village.
Where is that at?
It's at our Ingolstadt campus, which is Buffalo and Patrick, and we broke ground on that in September of last year, and we'll be delivering that project the middle part of next year, and it's going to house 80 individuals with disabilities right next door to OV.
So you're working within the community to help not just adults, but families and everyone who's affected with intellectual disabilities. And for those listening this morning that, you know, might not know where to go or where to turn or think that they can't get the help, you guys are there to help. How did they get that?
Yeah, and I you really highlight something that's important. It's not only the great work that happens for the individuals that come to OV every single morning, or maybe are out in the workforce on behalf of Opportunity Village, but it's taking it the next step further. What are we doing for their families? So what that really means, Steph, is if you come to OV as a family member, what does that allow you to do during the day? That allows you to go have a job. That allows you to maybe go grocery shopping. That maybe allows you to go see a movie while we're taking care of your loved one. So Opportunity Village, I think we're really full circle. And now when you add the residential housing component to that, it really takes us to a different level.
Absolutely. And if people want to, you know, more information or need help, how do they get involved with you guys?
Yeah, the best way to really understand what happens at OV every day is come take a tour with us. If you spend 45 minutes to 1 hour with our fundraising team, you see the great work and dedication that happens for people with disabilities in Southern Nevada. So that's a great place to start. Another great place to start is become a volunteer. Some people have the monetary means to get involved. And as the chief fundraiser, I'm out in the community asking for money every single day. But some people don't have that capacity. So maybe you could come in and be a volunteer. Or just as we mentioned when we came on air, maybe attend one of our events. That's a great way you can support the organization too.
Well, and your volunteers come back year after year, so that's a testament to how amazing your organization is, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have in excess of 10,000 volunteers every year who support the organization. And I would say money is obviously important. Those donations are critical, Steph, to the livelihood of Opportunity Village. But our volunteer efforts really, really help us take it to the next level.
And you have two separate campuses, so I want to make sure that people know that. Four.
We actually have four campuses, and we also have a retail thrift store. So we have five divisions of Opportunity Village today. When we open Betty's Village, that'll be six. And then when we open up our next campus, which is in the Northwest in 3 years, that'll be seven. So as you can see, we're spread throughout the community, continuing to make adults with disabilities the priority right here in Southern Nevada.
Let's talk about the thrift shop and how people can help with that. Where is that located?
Yeah, that's Decatur in 95, and it is an organization within Opportunity Village where 20-plus individuals that have disabilities are working there. They take in your gently used goods, they sort them, they tag them, they put them on the floor, and you can come in as a customer and buy all kinds of things from lawnmowers to soccer balls to gardening supplies to wonderful shirts and t-shirts and pants.
So if people want to donate, they can just go to that facility?
You can make a donation there with your goods, and obviously you can make monetary donations online at opportunityvillage.org.
Absolutely. And one of the big reasons that we wanted to bring you guys in was you usually do a March Madness promotion each year, and of course that, we all know, has gone to the side this year. So more than ever, if you're listening this morning, we really are encouraging everyone to get involved on any level.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, we have some challenging times that everybody's dealing with in North America and the world. And most leading charities, this is really where the community can get behind them and help support the causes that make the most sense in your community.
All right. Besides letting everyone know, you know, the great things that are going on, what is something maybe we haven't highlighted on this morning that people need to know? Because we do have so many people new coming into our community and people that have been here forever that, which I am always shocked at. I just want to have a list of all the great things we do. They're always like, there's nothing to do or what can I get involved with?
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you a couple of those. Opportunity Village is now in 60 business locations, Steph. And what that means is adults with disabilities are out on Opportunity Village work crews working in our community. We call it the three P's: pride, purpose, and a paycheck.
Trader Joe's is a big partner
Trader
with
Joe's,
you guys.
Yes. The great one. We have a couple of clients there that are sackers that will help, you know, put your groceries in the bag and will help you take those out into your car. We have a wonderful contract with Cox Communications. So if you buy cable equipment from Cox, which is located right here in our community, all of that equipment is manufactured and produced and packaged at OV. And another great thing people don't understand at OV is we have this wonderful fine and performing arts program. So you can come into Opportunity Village as an adult with disability and you can have that self-expression. You can paint, you can dance, you can play the guitar, you can do a Zumba class. I get out there and rock and roll with the clients, so every chance that I can get.
Yeah, that's fun. We took a, if everyone's listening this morning, you're like, what should we do for like a group building? Lotus Broadcasting did that 1 year. We went and did a group building and some of the people here that born and raised had no idea and we took the tour and I encourage everyone to do that, right?
Yeah, the tour again is such a great way to open up what happens at OV every single day. And I'll tell you another one that's just really taken off, and we just celebrated our 15th annual Las Vegas Great Santa Run that happens downtown in Las Vegas the first Saturday of every year. And we had almost 7,000 Santas downtown. So come one, come all, and dress up as a Santa. We provide that five-piece Santa suit for you. So Opportunity Village has many, many ways people in our community can get involved.
So we're going into spring. We're going into summer. What could we do right now to help you guys?
Yeah, again, I think we're at a critical juncture right now where funds are making up our deficit, so we really need to increase our donor base. Our annual giving campaigns are very important right now. We have naming right opportunities, Steph, on some of the wonderful buildings at Betty's Village. And then, you know, before you know it, fall's going to be here, and that's where we do the great events. So we would love people in the community to come out and support anything from Halloween to Magical Forest to the Las Vegas Great Santa Run.
So give us some websites or phone numbers that we could call.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. You can call me directly. I will personally tour you at 702-880-4080.
You could be the hero of your office.
You got it. I love giving tours. You get the interface with the clients. It's a great way, again, to see what happens.
And before you go onto the website and stuff, but just tell us again, because I think it's so important, when you go on that tour, what is actually happening? The residents are working, and there's facilities in there, and there's artwork people can buy, right? I mean, there's a lot of different jobs they're doing. Tell us.
Yeah, you get to really see what OV is like in an hour. And you get to interface, you get those high fives and those fist bumps from the clients. You see them in their workspaces, as you mentioned. You see them in our culinary facility, cooking and preparing food that goes for resale out in the community. So coming in and spending 1 hour at Opportunity Village, you will walk away with a greater appreciation about what this organization means.
It's like a mini village in there. There's lots of moving parts of what everyone's doing.
Yeah, in my 3 years at OV, I bet I've probably done 150 plus tours. And every time I tour, Steph, I learn something different and new about the organization that I'm proud to represent.
So give us your number again, because I encourage everyone to call you and take that
tour. Listen, I hope it rings off the hook.
Me too.
Adam Joseph with Opportunity Village, 702-880-4080, or just visit us at opportunityvillage.org, and all the information is there, and you can make a donation online.
All right, so I encourage everyone to go there. You've been listening to Neon and Beyond this morning. Adam Joseph, Vice President of Philanthropy, and before we let you go, just run down the things that are going on. I know we've said it a lot, but there's a lot of things and a lot of ways to get involved and help Opportunity Village, which is throughout our whole community, not just at your campuses.
That's right. The need at OV is 365 days a year, Steph. Everything from our wonderful events that we highlighted, Betty's Village, our residential housing. Make your gently used goods donation at our Opportunity Village thrift store located at Decatur and 95.
And will we see it? Is there signage?
Can't miss it. It's about as blue and big and bold as anything on that street. And as of course, we do need those much needed funds to support our organization. You can make a donation online at opportunityvillage.org.
All right. And the real Santa during the magical forest.
We're looking for you. We're looking for you in those sunglasses.
We'll be there. All right. Thank you, Adam, for coming in this morning. We just love you around here at Lotus, and thank you for all the great work you're doing here in Las Vegas.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Lotus, for everything you do, and you guys are a champion for our community.
Thank you. And thank you for listening this morning to Neon and Beyond. We got other great things coming your way, so hang tight. But if you have a question, a concern, or an event coming up, please email me. It's Steph, STEPH, at .97.com. Hang tight and put a big smile on your face.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Now, what is the census?
The census is a special time when we count every single person in the country.
Do kids and babies count, too?
Of course. Counting everyone in your home helps support your neighborhood by funding schools, hospitals, and more. So complete the census by calling, going online, or returning your form by mail. It's totally private.
Visit 2020census.gov and...
Make your family count!
Brought to you by Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Ad Council.
There is no known safe amount of marijuana use during pregnancy. Marijuana is not safe for pregnant or breastfeeding women and their babies. Everything a mother eats, drinks, or smokes affects her developing baby or enters her breast milk. Just like alcohol and tobacco, using marijuana can have negative effects for your baby. Any form of marijuana may be harmful during pregnancy and while breastfeeding. Marijuana can affect your ability to care for your baby or someone else's baby. It is best for women to quit using while pregnant and breastfeeding. If you are pregnant or a new mother using marijuana, you are urged to seek help to quit. Pregnant women receive priority admission at state-funded treatment centers. Visit SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org. That's SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org or call 211. This message, sponsored by the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and the station.